Psalm 24, 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Now, this is interesting. Psalm 24, David ends this psalm by repeating a command, not to a person, but to a gate. And he repeats it, Psalm 24, 7, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Psalm 24, 9, lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors. And David is referring to the Eastern Gate. That Eastern Gate played a significant role both in the tabernacle and temple. Picture here of a model of the tabernacle, and there you see the priest with the animals for the sacrifice, and they're standing beside a gate. That gate is to the east, and it was the only access to the tabernacle and temple towards the Ark of the Covenant, where God's glory dwelt. Exodus 27, verse 16. For the gate of the court there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine woolen linen made by the weaver. It shall have four pillars and four sockets. So the only access inside the temple is through the Eastern Gate. To approach God, you always had to go west. Go west, go west, young man. You want to find God? Go west. Go west to the Eastern Gate. In Ezekiel 10, verse 19, we read, and the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them, and they stood at the door at the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of God of Israel was above them. Here Ezekiel is describing the glory of God departing from the temple. And he departed from the Holy of Holies through the Eastern Gate up the Mount of Olives and ascended into heaven. One of the reasons why God judged the children of Israel is their religious leaders turned around. They were facing the wrong way. In order to come to God, you have to face west. You have to come through the Eastern Gate going west, from the east going west. But Ezekiel 8, 15 and 16, it says, then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again and you will see greater abominations than these. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. Now, to understand this principle of why it's so important to go from the east traveling west, we see this over and over again in the scriptures. For instance, after the fall of man, the only entrance to the Garden of Eden was traveling through an eastern gate. Genesis 3:24, So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Only one way into the Garden of Eden. When the children of Israel entered the Promised Land, they traveled from the east side of the Jordan River, going west. Joshua 1:11, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he entered from the Mount of Olives, which is to the east, and went into the temple, going west. Luke 19:29-30, and it came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat, loose him and bring it here. When Jesus comes back, he will come from the east, traveling west. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north, and half of it towards the south. Matthew 24:27. For as a lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Your rabbit trail. You know, if you go to the Western Wall today, you're going to see the Jewish people, but they're trying to get God, trying to get to God from the wrong direction. They're trying to come from the west, going east. But the eastern gate was the only access to the temple. And so when they're trying to come in from the back way, they're breaking God's commandment. They're trying to come another way. And God says there's only one way. You need to come through the eastern gate. The courtyard was surrounded by a fence, preventing anyone to come to God in the wrong direction. This reminds us of Jesus, who claimed to be the door of the sheep. John 10:1-6. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And then in John 10:7-10, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This picture here, you see an artist's rendition of the shepherd sitting at the door. The sheep are all within the walls. They're protected by the shepherd. The big bad wolf can't get the sheep unless they try to go through the shepherd. He's standing at the door and he's protecting the sheep. When you try to come to God, other than going through the eastern gate, Jesus said, "You're a liar and you're a thief." And every cult is trying to get to God, coming from a different direction, avoiding the shepherd who's sitting on the eastern gate. Now today, the eastern gate is sealed. It was sealed in 1541 by Suleiman the Magnificent. And let me just read an excerpt from the culture trip, the story behind Jerusalem's sealed golden gate. The final sealing shut the gate as completed by Suleiman is said to have been a defensive move by the Sultan. As derived from Jewish literature, the gate is said to be a point at which the Jewish Messiah will enter the city of Jerusalem, and therefore, in order to prevent this from occurring, the Sultan sealed the gate. The Muslims also placed a graveyard in front of the eastern gate, knowing that the Messiah, who is the anointed priest, would not be able to enter through a graveyard without becoming unclean. Leviticus 21:1, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to the priest, the son of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people.'" It was believed that the eastern gate and the graveyard would prevent the Messiah from going to the temple. But the sealed gate and the graveyard are no hindrance to the Messiah, who is the King of Glory. When the Messiah returns, the eastern gate will rise up and the Messiah will walk through. Psalm 24:7-8. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. After the Lord returns, that eastern gate will be once again sealed during the millennial kingdom. Ezekiel 43:1-2. "Afterward he brought me to the gate that faces towards the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory." And then Ezekiel 44:1-2. "And then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces toward the east, but it was shut. And the Lord said to me, 'This gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore, it shall be shut.'" What about the graveyard? When Jesus returns, there will be a large valley formed. And that valley, I believe, will divide that graveyard, allowing the Messiah to walk through without being defiled by the dead. That large valley is described in Zechariah 14:4. "And on that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north, and half of it towards the south." And with the dividing of that valley, Messiah can walk through where that graveyard once stood without becoming defiled. So let's review. Psalm 24 is apocalyptic. It gives instructions primarily to those living during the tribulation period. The Lord is telling tribulation saints, do not be fooled when the Antichrist comes to the third temple. He does not qualify to sit in the temple as God. He is the man of sin. When the real Messiah comes, he will come from the east, marching through the eastern gate, which will rise up when he comes, and he will set up the Messianic kingdom, the millennial kingdom. Though I believe it was written primarily for the tribulation saints, of course, there's always an application for believers in every dispensation. The question arises, will you be able to ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or will you be able to stand in his holy place? Do you have clean hands and a pure heart? If you're honest before God, you know that sin will keep you out of heaven. Only those who have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb will be able to come into God's presence. 1 John 1, 7 to 10. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Last word. Where will you spend eternity? John 3, verse 36 gives the answer. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I know that there may be someone watching this who's religious but lost. They've been trying to come to the Lord without going through the shepherd who's sitting on the eastern gate. They're lost. They're facing God's judgment, his wrath, eternal damnation, and the lake of fire. The good news is God loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If you will humble yourselves, put your faith in Jesus the Messiah, he'll nail all your sins to the cross and clothe you with his righteousness. Where will you spend eternity? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Shalom. This is Larry Mitchell. Have a great day.